Now we come to our ninth overall message in this series, Preaching from Titus. We come to our fourth message in this part of the series on sound doctrine. So let me read the text verse. Our text verse is Titus chapter number 2, verse number 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Father, would you help us in this study in Jesus' name? Amen. Paul is commanding his young preacher Titus to speak the things which become sound doctrine, or good health, or something that the Christian may grow by. Now, the lost need the gospel. They have to have the gospel preached to them in order to get saved. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now, to the saved person, God commands that we preach the word and we preach doctrines to save. But let me say this to you. It will do no good to preach doctrine to lost people. All right. They do not get it, because doctrine is the teachings of Christ and it is spiritually discerned. You must be saved in order to understand the doctrines of the Bible. The only doctrine a lost man understands is the teaching of salvation. That's it. That's all he understands. And then he don't fully understand all about salvation. But anyway, so what I've been doing is, of course, going down through different doctrines in the Bible and giving you just a little bit about that doctrine and moving on. Now, I left you on the last message, and we were studying our fourth doctrine, and we were studying the doctrine of tithes and offerings. Now, for the sake of not being confused, I'd like to read these verses again. If you have a Bible and you'd like to follow with me, I'm in Malachi chapter number 3. Malachi chapter number 3, and actually we're in our fifth, this is our fifth doctrine, okay, so I'm going to get it right, our fifth doctrine. And Malachi 3:8, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Now, we covered these verses on the last message, and I do not wish to go back too much. But let me just say this, that the tithe is 10% of your income. And that tithe is to be paid to the local Bible preaching church. We established that on the last message. And that tithe is a principle all the way through the Bible. Now, God just didn't say tithes, but he said tithes and offerings here. All right. So now we're preaching this. Now, by the way, God said he'll bless you. He'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, some of these men get on TV and on social media and preach a prosperity gospel. Well, nothing will ever beat what the Bible says. And God said, if you give, he'll give it back to you. Amen. Now you say, "Preacher, I can't afford to pay my tithes." Well, sir, ma'am, I'll just say to you, you can't afford not to. Amen. Now, I want to go on, because there's a lot of people, and the way this worked out, that part was at the first of the doctrine on tithes and offerings. And now I want to get into something here for a minute, because a lot of people say, "Well, preacher, tithing is under the law. Tithing is under the law." No, it's not. No, it's not. Tithing is a principle throughout the Old and New Testament. Now, when you're studying a word in the Bible, you ought to always look it up and find out, number one, where all it is in the Bible and maybe how many times. So the word, let's just look at the word tithes, all right? It's mentioned. In Genesis chapter number 14, do you remember that Lot is in Sodom? And Abraham goes down there with 300, believe it is, maybe 300 over armed men of his house. And he goes down and he rescues Lot and he brings back all the goods. And he meets Melchizedek, who is a type of Christ. And Genesis chapter 14, verse number 20. Genesis chapter 14 and verse number 20. Lord willing, I want to read that verse in your hearing today. Genesis chapter 14, verse number 20. "And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand, and he gave him tithes of all." God, Abraham tithed to Melchizedek on that he had gotten. All right. Now, he gave him tithes of all. Now, You say, well, preacher, that verse is still under the law because Moses wrote the law. Now, wait a minute. Moses did write the book of Genesis, but the book of Genesis did not start the law. I want you to understand that. So when you say tithing is under the law, you're not rightly dividing the word of God. Tithing was before the law. It's what we call the principle of first mentioned. And the first mention of tithing is a man, Abraham, giving tithes to Melchizedek, according to the book of Hebrews, a type of Christ. When you dishonor God with your tithes, you're dishonoring Jesus Christ. Amen. That's before the law. Now, let me give you this verse, John, the Gospel of chapter 1, verse 17. For the law was given by Moses. Now, wait a minute. The law wasn't given before Moses, but it was given by Moses. Moses himself gave the law. All right. The Bible said, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. All right, so Moses may have been the writer of Genesis, and maybe I believe that he was, but you remember God said, it is good all through Genesis chapter 1. You remember also that in Exodus 33 that God showed Moses the goodness of God. And so we see that tithes and offerings were before the law. So you can't say tithing is another. I'll say this to you. Money today is people's main thing. Corporate America has ruined America by the business practices that they have done to our country. That's why our food supply and everything's in a mess. Everything is about money. If we knew how corporate America cheats America and people cheat to make money. Money is people's goal. And I'm sad to say, but in the Bible-believing fundamental church, money is most people's goal. Things. You don't have things. Things have you. But I'll quote a verse to you, and I may have quoted on the last message. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Did you know money means nothing to me? Now, it takes money to live, and it takes money to pay the bills. But God will pay for what He orders. The other day, in the ministry, we had to spend a large sum of money. I mean, one of the largest sums of money we have ever spent in our life. And I was sort of discouraged. I sat down at my wife's desk. I was discouraged. And the Holy Spirit reminded me, He said, son, what I order, I pay for. It's going to be all right. Now, I don't believe in doing anything foolish or stupid, but I believe in obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. And what He says do, I believe you'll do it. Now, tithes and offerings. Amen. So, I don't have a problem. Now, I gave you tithing before the law. And, of course, Malachi is the law and then the prophets. But now let me give you a verse after the law. Now, for those of you, I do not argue the Bible. I preach it. And there's a big difference in that. But for those who hold the view that tithing is not in the New Testament, well, you don't find tithing in the New Testament. Well, I will differ with you on that, and I'll show you the verse. Matthew chapter number 23, Jesus is talking to a crowd of Pharisees. And this is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter number 23, and I'll look at verse number 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Now, he said, you tithe, but you're leaving out the weightier matters of the law. You know what he said? Do both. He said, this you ought to have done, but don't leave the other undone. In other words, don't leave off tithing. That verse is in the Bible. That verse is seldom preached from the New Testament. Jesus said, don't leave off tithing. Jesus said. For those of you who like the words that Jesus said, don't leave off tithing. Of course, Jesus wrote all the Bible. But I say again, when you don't get your tithes and offerings into the offering plate, you are missing the blessing. And you're going to be the one, if you're a born-again believer, that God will judge for it. And so I don't want to be chastened or judged, but I want to give my money because I love the Lord. I've never missed any money that I've given God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I was born in 1966. I was born. Now, I don't know when I'm going to die, but I will die. If the rapture of the church don't come, I'm going to leave out of here one of these days. And I promise you, I'll take nothing with me. My bank account, if I've got one, will stay here on earth. My house will stay here. My cars will stay here. My land will stay here on earth. My machinery that I may have, garden tiller, lawnmower, whatever, that'll stay here on earth. It'll stay here. I'm not going to, this stuff is just stuff that God allowed me to borrow. You remember when Joseph came up out of Egypt to get Jacob? And remember, I believe as Pharaoh said, regard not your stuff. It's just stuff, folks. It's just, you say, preacher, I got a house, I got a pool, I got a vacation home. It's just stuff. It's okay that you may have it. If God's blessed you with it and you've got the means to afford it, wonderful. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen. I've got a good friend of mine who's a gospel singer. And I don't like to call names of people who's still living, but I'll do it like this. This friend of mine was also a friend of the late Mays Jackson. And this friend of mine, he said, when I go, he said, God's blessed me, and God has blessed that man. And he said, I bought me a Cadillac, and he said, I park it in the back of the church. And Mays told this man, he said, don't you do that. He said, God's blessed you with that Cadillac. You drive it right up in front of that church, and you pull it in there, and don't you worry about what people think about it. Now, let me tell you, if God's blessed you, that is wonderful. I know people that make money and they deal with money and it ain't went to their head. And that's great. But I know other people that they pinch every penny they get and they never have anything. I'm going to close out this section of this doctrine with this great verse right here. We've used this a lot in charathons over the years. I've used it and other men have used it. The Bible gives us this verse in Luke 6:38. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. God said, you give and I'm going to bless you. You give and I'm going to bless you. Now that ain't some TV sermon, that's the Bible. Now if you're walking with God where you ought to be and you give, God will bless you. I tell you, I remember the first time God ever told me to give, and I didn't have no money back in those days. And God told me this is extra above my tithes now. I give an offering. I mean, the first time God ever told me to give $1,000 to this ministry right here. By the way, I think this is a great ministry. I think we're reaching a lot of people here at Gospel Broadcasting. I think we're going around the world. I invite you to be a part of it, and I don't apologize for it. You're sitting there and you got $1 million. You don't know what to do with it. Give it to us. You think I won't put it to the use of the glory of God? I'll buy stations and go on stations, and I'll it'll be amazing. The devil don't like this. He's trying to choke me up. He don't like it. Amen. I'll tell you what the devil wants. The devil wants the world to take every preacher and lump them into one category. And he wants the world of sinners to think that preachers are just out there after their money. I want to say I ain't after nobody's money. Now, I say this. There's people listen to me that give, and I thank God that you do. Your tithes go to the local church. Your tithes. But your offerings, if you want to give, and by the way, you need to give an offering to the local church too. But your offerings, if you want to give other offerings as a love offering to this ministry, that's all right with me. That's all right with God. And we'll use it for the glory of God. But money cannot be our goal. All right. So that sums up the doctrine of tithes and offerings. Now, let's move to our sixth doctrine today as we're studying, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine with our fourth message on this. And so now we come to the doctrine of prayer. We come now to the doctrine of prayer. Now, I want to say to you today that prayer is the least used thing that I believe there is. Now, prayer is our weapon. The Bible said in the book of 1 Corinthians, excuse me, 2 Corinthians, chapter number 10, I believe it is, and verse number 4. The Bible said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, if you want to see something done, pray about it. I have been saved for 47 years. I can honestly sit here behind this microphone today and tell you that I can leave this world when I die saying that I've seen miracles of God through prayer. I've seen it through praying saints, through praying people. I believe one reason God's had his hand on GBI all these years, the devil's tried to fight it, the devil don't like it. But I tell you, the reason God's had his hand upon this ministry is that we've had some people, old-time people, that prayed for us, like the late Dr. Rayton Puckett. Oh, he prayed for us every day. We had people pray for us like Miss Ruby Hill in Providence, Kentucky, and others that prayed for us while we're trying to preach the Word of God. You see, I believe this. I appreciate your support, and I want you to support me, and I want you to help God's work, not my work, but God's work. It wouldn't bother me if 5,000 of you started supporting us monthly. It wouldn't bother me, because I guarantee you that we'd get into something. You know, somebody had a narrow vision one day. They called in on the phone, and I don't know if they told me or told my wife this. I think my wife got this one day during a charathon. Somebody said, well, you know what? If y'all wouldn't do so much, you wouldn't have to ask for so much money. Now, that is a narrow vision. That's a narrow vision. Amen. But let me tell you something. I got a better vision than that. Let's do all we can while we can. There's going to come a day we can't. Amen. And as long as God's paying the bill and God, and it's God's will, let's get it done. Let's do it for the glory of God. Let's don't sit back and wait on somebody. You say, well, somebody else will give to that radio broadcast. Somebody else will give to that preacher. Let me say this to you. What if God raised up for you? But let me say, more than giving, listen to me, more than giving, I need your prayers. I'd rather have 5,000 of you pray for me than I would 5,000 of you support me. I'll tell you why. Because if you pray for me, God will send that support. He will. I'd rather have the prayer. Somebody said the weakest saint, the devil trembles when the weakest saint is on his knees. Now, the thing that's missing today is prayer. The thing that I'm guilty of is prayer, not praying enough. The thing you're guilty of, the thing our preachers and our churches are lacking is the power of the Holy Ghost, and that only comes a lot of times through prayer and fasting and getting a hold of God. And we lack that in our hour. We lack that in our day. We really do. We lack that, my friend. And brother, we need to get back to prayer. We need to get back to it. In our pulpits across America, we've got to get back to prayer. So I give you this little outline that I found with it. I don't usually use other men's outlines, but I'm going to give you this and we'll tell you where it come from. Dr. Butler has it in one of his books. And I thought this was one of the best outlines on prayer that I'd ever seen. And so I use this some in my preaching on prayer. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1, Paul said, I exhort therefore that first of all, and let me stop right there. Here's the priority of prayer. Paul said, I exhort first of all, first of all, first of all. What are you doing, preacher? Oh, well, we got some good program for our young people at our church. That's good. But first of all, you say, preacher, we got some good program for the old people. That is good. But first of all, you say, preacher, we got a good choir. That's wonderful. But first of all, you say, preacher, we got good preaching. That's wonderful. But first of all, you say, preacher, we got a good soul winning program. That is wonderful. But first of all, Paul said, I exhort that first of all, amen. And he's going to talk about prayer. You know what? Prayer ought to be the number one thing. Amen? One fellow was preaching revival for me several years ago. And this pastor has a great church. He got a great crowd on Sundays. God does a good job. And this man was talking about his church. It'd make my bills look small compared to what he was trying to pay off. They'd built a new building. And he said, brother, he told our church, he said, the reason things have come together in our church is because we meet on Saturday nights and pray. Bobby Robertson told somebody that great church at Gospel Light, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Back in the day, 4,000 people came to that church. And Bobby Robertson said this. He said, I tell you what I believe. He said, I believe those prayer meetings on Saturday night done more than anything in the world. I remember this. When I first started as a young preacher at the Beulah Land Baptist Church up in Rhonda, North Carolina, you know what my pastor would do? Every Saturday night, they'd come get me. I couldn't drive. They'd come get me. We'd have prayer meeting at the church. I thank God for that. I thank God for the time of prayer. I exhort that, first of all, that's the priority of prayer. I want to ask you a question. Where's your priority today? I'm not fussing with you. I'm just asking you. The doctrine of prayer is, listen, if God is not first, God will not be at all. Not long ago, maybe over a year ago, maybe almost 2 years ago, I had a burden here in the ministry. And I carry burdens that you'll never know I do. Somebody said, oh, well, that ain't a church, and he don't carry a lot of burdens. I wished you had on you one week what I carry on me. And I tell you what, you'd think about that, amen? But I sat in my office, I was under a great burden, and I began to pray about something. And the Lord said to me, son, if you're not interested in that, why should I be? And that rung my bell. You know what my priority wasn't on prayer for that particular thing. In other words, I hadn't been praying for that thing like I should have been. But I thought, I'll go to God and get me an answer. Well, I didn't get a quick answer on that thing. Let me say to you, we need to pray. Everybody needs to pray. Amen. Prayer, and the devil is really just messing my throat up. He just absolutely does not like me preaching these. And I tell you what, the devil don't like doctrine, buddy. If the devil can get you to hear some little funny story, or the devil can get you to hear some statistic or some psychology lesson, he's happy about that. But I'll tell you something, buddy, the devil never has liked old-time preaching, and he never will. Amen. And what we need in our churches again today with love and compassion is some old-time God-fearing preaching. Amen. Now, let me show this. I exhort that first of all, therefore, that first of all, supplications. Now, you know what that is? Amen. That is petitions. Supplications. Now that's your petitions. That you have the right to go to God and ask God about it. Amen. Supplications. Now I want to ask you a question. Do you take your supplications to God? Now brother, do you go to God and just ask Him for what you need? There are things in the ministry here. I have list after list of things that I ask the Lord for. If it's God's will, God provides them. If it's not God's will, God doesn't. Not long ago, we tried to get on a radio station. And I really wanted on that station. I felt like it would take the gospel into a place where the gospel really wasn't heard that much. I wanted to get on that station. And I tried to get on that station. I prayed about getting on that station. And they would not let me on the station. And I don't know their reasoning for it. I don't know. I'm not mad at the people. I don't know their reasoning for it. Maybe they had a good reason. I don't know. But we didn't get on that station. But let me say to you, friend, that I'm praying about other stations. When one door closes somewhere, you just pray to God to open up another door. Amen. Supplication, you just go to God and keep on asking. The Bible said, ask and you shall find. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now, the Greek there has the idea of ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. You can't just ask one time and expect God to answer your prayer. No, you got to. And I don't care who wrote a book. And I don't care whose psychology you're using about, well, you can just go to God and you can demand anything you want to. Or I don't care who had a TV program that said that. Let me tell you something. You better be careful in your praying. You better fear God when you pray. And you go before God with a supplication. You ask the Lord. Amen. Now, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers. All right, I've dealt with the priority. I dealt with the petition. And now the prayers, that has to do with the person. You see, prayers are prayed to a certain person. I don't pray a prayer to you. Nowhere in the Bible am I to call my pastor and pray a prayer to him. I'm to pray a prayer for him, but I'm not to pray a prayer to him. Nowhere when my mama was alive did I ever go pray to my mama. I prayed for her. I didn't pray to her. Amen. She prayed for me. She didn't pray to me. Right? So when we're praying, prayers is personal. It is praying to God. Now listen, I'm going to say this to you. You need to get disciplined and use a prayer list. The late Dr. Ballou, he said this, you'll not do much praying if you don't have a prayer list. And I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. Amen. I believe that you ought to have a prayer list that you pray from. Now, I'm not mad at you if you don't. But what that prayer list will do is it will help you discipline yourself every day to pray. Now, I don't go down my list every day. There are days I pray, and the Holy Spirit tells me not to go down that list. He wants to go some other route, and I do that. But I tell you, as a rule, it's a good guide to go down that list and pray for other people. If you don't, you're going to find yourself only praying for yourself and your needs. I remember many years ago, this was 1985. I just announced my call to preach. We were having a good time. We were enjoying God. And the preacher said, we're going to have an all-night prayer meeting. He said, here's what we're going to do. He said, we're going to do it at home. He said, we're just going to trust you and you take a time. Pray. My time fell from 12 o'clock midnight to 1 o'clock in the morning. So I went downtown And I was doing some other things there in a store, and so I got me a stopwatch. I'm not real sure if that's why I got the watch, but I did use it for that, and it may have been part of the reason I bought that watch. I don't know. But I went back home. I had that little watch. I was 19-year-old. And 12 o'clock on Saturday night came, and I got down, and I prayed. And I prayed for everybody and everything I could think of. And I tell you, I said, surely I prayed an hour. And I looked at that watch, and it said 10 minutes. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you use a prayer list, it will help you from running out of gas praying, all right? I just finished today. Well, I'd like to tell you how I pray, but you can pray. You can pray for a lot of people in a short amount of time. Do you know that? Write down every fundamental Bible preaching church in your county. Write down every fundamental Bible preaching church in the neighboring county. Then when you can't know counties, know states, and write down every fundamental Bible preaching church you can think of in a state and pray for it. Amen. Just call it out. Lord bless Pine Creek Baptist Church. Lord bless Brother Sam over there at Oak Hill Baptist. I mean, just keep going down the list. Just call the names out and going. You don't have to spend a lot of time. I don't spend a lot of time unless the Holy Spirit stops me. But your prayers are to a person. The devil came not long ago. And he said to me, well, it was a while back, and he said to me now, he said, that praying you're doing ain't doing no good. He said, it ain't helping nothing. Well, I got news for the devil. The Bible said he's a liar. Now, I didn't make that accusation. Jesus called him a liar in the book of John. And if the devil's a liar, he's lying me about praying. And I tell you, praying does work. And I tell you, praying does do good. And I tell you, praying's what's wrong with this country. Prayer will change this country. I'm going to tell you something. About 4 or 5 years ago, it looked pretty bleak for the United States of America. And there were some people that got in office, and they were going to change the course of this nation. Don't you forget that. They were going to. Don't you forget that. Because it's going to roll around again. But I tell you, there's some people went to praying for this nation. And there was two of the most unlikely people that God used in Washington, D.C. to turn the tide on that thing. And they were not conservatives either. I want you to know that. For you that say, well, conservatives are going to fix everything. Now, wait a minute. I believe in being conservative on your views. Please don't misunderstand me when I say that. I'm for every cause that is right. I'm against abortion. I'm against homosexuality. I'm against liquor. I mean, you name it, I'm against it, okay? Because the Bible's against it. I'm for conservatism, all right? But let me say this to you. Prayer will go deeper than conservatism. Prayer will get to the heart. Do you pray for the politicians? Let me ask you a question. Do you pray for your president? On my list, I pray for my president. I have his name on there. I have his wife. I pray for his wife. I think I just have his name, but I have his wife. I pray for his wife. I know that, and then I pray for his family. All right, the vice president. I have him and his family on there. I pray for the Congress, the Senate, the House of Representatives, local, state, and local representatives. You need to find out who your state representatives are and pray for them. Not long ago, I had to call on my state representatives for a matter. And I can honestly say that I used three state representatives in Raleigh on a matter. And I can honestly say that two House members and a senator in Raleigh were very cooperative and helped me. And I believe that came through prayer. I believe that came through me praying for them. I tell you right now, you better pray. And I got a list, and I do this. I got every state in the United States on that list. Alabama, Arizona, Alaska, Arkansas, maybe not. And I got them in alphabetical order. I might not quote them there in alphabetical order, but I got them. And from A to W, all the way down, I go down that list and pray for every state. And I'll tell you why I do that. I just call the names out. Lord, help Alabama. Lord, help Arkansas. Lord, help this one, that one. Let me tell you why I do that. Because Arkansas might be getting ready to pass a law contrary to God. Or Massachusetts might be trying to get pass a law contrary to God. Or California. And so I pray for those states. I say, preacher, will that praying end ever do any good? Well, God said bring you petitions. And God said prayer was a priority. And God's prayer is personal. You pray to Jesus Christ. Don't forget who I'm praying to. I'm not praying to you. I'm not praying to some CEO of a corporation. You could turn me down. If I had a need and I came to the CEO, he could turn me down. If I had a need and I came to my House representatives, they could turn me down. If I came to my senator, they could turn me down. But I tell you one thing. I'm talking to somebody higher than a senator or a president. When I go to God, I'm talking to a person. You see, your prayer life will make a difference when you realize you're talking to a person. When I go to God, it's prayer. You know what made Sammy Allen and Percy Ray great prayer warriors? When they talk to a person. Oh, Jesus is not some figment of my imagination. Jesus is not just some thing that I imagined up. No, He's been around. He's the Son of God. And I pray to Him personally. Amen. I don't have to go to anybody. I don't have to pray to Mary or Thomas or John or any of the disciples or Mary Magdalene. No, I just go straight to Jesus. I bypass everybody else. Just go straight to Jesus. Amen. I mean, listen, praise God. Amen. The one denomination, they had an old time song. And you say, well, that song ain't a Baptist song. No, but that song was pretty well on target. It said, Jesus on the main line. Tell Him what you want. Hallelujah. Y'all ever remember them old party telephones? I'm a little old enough to remember some of that, a little bit. And man, everybody in the community be on the telephone. But I'll tell you one thing, Jesus on the main line. You tell Him what you want. Ain't nobody on there but you and Him. Glory to God. Amen. You tell Him what you need. And He'll answer you according to His will. Amen. Now, let's read it again. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions. And right here is people, intercessions. Let me ask you, do you intercede for people? Can I tell you that Jesus, Him being God, He knew this. He knew that Peter was going to face a great storm in his life. And the Bible said in the book of Luke, Simon, Simon, Satan had desired to have thee as wheat, to sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. Now, did you know that Jesus Christ prays for you? I want to ask you a question. If Jesus prays for you, should you not pray for others? If Jesus prays for you, should you not pray for others? Amen? Amen? Let me say, you say, preacher, how many people do you pray for? Now listen, if you don't have a prayer list, you know what you're going to do? Lord, give me this and Lord, give me that. Lord, bless my dog. Lord, bless my cat. I mean, you may not pray like that, but it's going to be give me, give me, give me. Let me tell you something. I'm in the radio ministry here. And I like radio pro. I like people to come and take programs with us. Naturally, I do. Naturally, I want people to listen to us. But you know what I do on my prayer list? I pray for other radio stations. Just today, I prayed for other radio stations. Brother, I'd be wrong not to pray for other stations. I prayed for a station today that I'm not even on. I'm not even on that station. You listen to me. We are failing when we fail to pray for others. We ought to pray for other people. Amen. Not just our church. Oh, but you say, preacher, our church is the greatest church in the world. Hold on a minute. Don't teach your people this our church is only 10 can rattling in the alley stuff. I tried that stuff. It don't work well. You know, don't get me wrong. You ought to love your church better than you do any other church. And I thank God for our church, our deacons, our pastor, our choir leader. I thank God for our church. I love our church. But there's a lot of good churches out there still. There's a lot of good churches out there. And let's get our eyes on the fact of, well, praise God, our church only place they are. No. There's other churches. We ought to pray for other churches. Pray for other pastors. You say, preacher, them other preachers don't like me. Pray for them anyway. Pray for them anyhow. Man, I pray for you. If you're a fundamental Bible preaching church, I'm for you. Now, you may not do things the way I do, all right? All right, some of you preachers may do things differently than I do. You may do things differently than what I say on the radio. You know me, how I feel about some of this marketing and stuff. But look, if you do it and it works, I'm not against you. Amen. If you get on social media and do something, you got 100 people coming Sunday, I'm not going to be against that. Thank God you got them. I hope some of them get saved. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not against you. I'm not going to come on the radio and be against preachers and churches. Man, we're on the same team. There's no letter I in the word team. We're fighting together, amen. We're fighting the devil. I'm not fighting you. I'm not on the radio fighting some preacher. I'm on the radio fighting the devil. I want to see people in Madisonville, Kentucky get saved. I want to see people in Greenville, South Carolina get saved. I want to see people in Elkin, North Carolina get saved. I want to see people in Sweetwater, Tennessee get saved. I want to see people in Duck Creek and in Sneedville, Tennessee, amen, get saved, amen. I want to see people, my friend, all across this great country, Harrisburg, Illinois, I want to see people get saved, amen. Hickory, North Carolina, I want to see people get saved. Winston-Salem, I want to see people get saved. I'm not against these churches. I want to pray for them. I want to pray for you. Amen. Pray, intercede. That's the people in prayer. Intercession. How many people do you pray for? You say, preacher, my son and my daughter, they're just not turning out right. They're grown. They're not trying to, do you pray for them? I want to ask you something. You take them grandkids and you do things with them. And I want to ask you, have they ever heard Papa and Mama pray? Oh, I'd give anything for a good praying grandma and grandpa. And I heard my daddy and mama pray. But you know, the best influence, Papa, you could ever be on those kids is get down and let you come to the house and grandma say, they say, where's Papa? He's down there in the shed. And boy, that kid slip around the corner of kids' church, and that kid might hear you calling his name out for salvation. I'll ask a question, do you pray for your kids? You say, preacher, my wife don't go to church. Do you pray for her? Do you pray for her? Do you pray for her regularly? Do you pray for her every day? Put her on a prayer list. Don't miss a day. And you say, preacher, my husband don't go to church with me. Do you pray for him? Well, my mama prayed my daddy in. My mama got saved in 1975. You've heard me tell the story. I had an uncle named Bob. And Bob Dow was my uncle. Bob Dow, he's just like my daddy. There's two of the biggest drunks they were around. And I mean, old Bob Dow was a drunkard in Roaring River, North Carolina. I'll never forget this. When my mama got saved, she started praying, old God, said, if you'll save Bob Dow, said Harold will get in. You know what? Mama got saved in September 75, at the end of 1975. On the, I believe it was the last day of the year, turned toward 76, about 50 years ago, old Uncle Bob Dow got saved by the grace of God. By 1977, daddy was in there and working on church buses. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about praying for people. My friend, don't ever forget to pray for people. Listen, you say, preacher, I'm in a nursing home. I'm in a retirement facility. I just can't do anything. Well, you can do it. You can pray. There's an old song we sing. It's talked about little as much when God is in it. And one of those verses in that song says, you might be laid aside from service, but you can still get in the battle in prayer. And I feel led to tell this on the radio. I'm going to tell it right here. Mama was real sick. Now, I've told you the story. Most of you heard it. You could tell it again to me. You could write me a letter and tell me the story. But for those of you who hadn't heard it, I'm going to tell it again because I believe the Holy Spirit would have me tell it here. My mama got sick down in Elk in North Carolina about 15 years ago. And I tell you, she just wasn't doing good at all. And had her over in the hospital. And I was going over there in Elk. And I was going over there to get me something to eat. And we pulled in the parking lot over there, and I told my wife, I said, I'm going to call so-and-so and get him to pray for my mama. He's an evangelist all over the country, preaches, and a good man. And I said, I'm going to call. And the Holy Spirit said, don't call him. And when he said, I want you to call Ruby Hill in Providence, Kentucky. Now, Ruby Hill's not a preacher. She wasn't a preacher. She never preached a revival meeting. She wasn't a preacher. She didn't believe women could preach. She didn't believe that at all. She was an old-time Holy Ghost-filled Christian. And so Ruby Hill was 82 years old. I picked the phone up, and she was a radio listener of mine. She heard me on the radio there in Kentucky, and she listened to me. And I called her. I said, Miss Hill, I said, this is Brother Ricky. I said, Miss Hill, my mama ain't doing good. I said, would you pray for her? She said, I sure will, Ricky. I'll pray for her. I said, thank you, Miss Hill. We talked a few words, and we hanged up, as on, I believe, on Friday, on Sunday morning. Mama's real sick. I didn't get to go to church that morning. And something happened at one of our radio stations, and my wife didn't get to go. She had to go correct the problem or something to keep things going. And I'm sitting there in the hospital, just me and Mama there. I guess my brother went to church, and we're just sitting there in the hospital, just me and Mama. And all of a sudden, my mama said, Ricky, she said, I'm hot. And see, we've been having a problem with her blood pressure not coming up. And all of a sudden, she began to kick her covers off. And brother, I'm Baptist, but I was about to have a Pentecostal fit in that hospital room. I knew what was getting ready to happen. That blood pressure was going, they come in there and they check the blood. Well, Miss Cotton, your blood pressure is going, boy, 2 or 3 days, they let her go home. Now, I want you to listen to what I'm going to tell you. I'm talking about intercessions. I'm talking about praying for people. We need to get serious about prayer. Boy, we're poking at prayer. And brother, when we get to heaven, we're going to be mighty embarrassed about our prayer life. Amen. I found out later, Miss Hill, at 82, Miss Hill had sat up all night long and prayed for my mama. I want you to listen to me, friend. We need some people that'll pray for people. I tell you one of the things that is I said this the other day in a message. I tell you one of the things that inspired me the most to pray for people. I was in Resaca, Georgia. This has been almost 40 years ago, not quite 40. I was in Resaca, Georgia one morning at the Faith Baptist camp. I was in the bookstore over there. And there's a preacher friend of mine came in. I've known him well. He's been my friend for many, many years. Me and him have been close friends. And Brother Sammy came in. Brother Sammy Allen came in. And Brother Sammy didn't know me at that time, but he knew that preacher friend of mine was in there. And he looked at that preacher and he said, "Brother so-and-so," and he called his name. He said, "I prayed for you this morning." And boy, you know what? I began to think about that. I began to think, we need some people to intercede. Well, I'll tell you another story about Brother Sammy Allen. There's a missionary friend of mine. Boy, we don't get to see each other much like we used to, but boy, back in the day, we were real close, and we just like brothers. We're close, and we did a lot of things together, and he did a lot of things for this ministry, helped this ministry in its early days. And so the man's wife called me one day. I'd already gotten married, and I was pastoring the church, and the man's wife called me one day, and she said, "Ricky," she called the man's name, her husband, and she said, "He is in bad shape." She said, "He is in the hospital," and said, "He has got infection in his blood," and said, and she thought he's going to die. And I couldn't, I didn't, you know, when she told me that, I thought, well, who in the world can I get to pray? And the Lord told me, said, "You call Sammy Allen." I said, "All right, I'm going to hang up right now. I'm going to call somebody to pray." And I called Sammy Allen. I said, "Brother Sammy," I said, "one of your missionaries," and I give him his name. I said, "This man's in the hospital." I said, "He is in bad shape. Bad shape. He's about to die." Boy, you know what? My friend got to recovering. I talked to my friend later, and I talked to him. I said, "When did you get to recovering?" He said, "Oh, about that same time that you called Brother Sammy Allen, and Brother Sammy prayed for me." Now, you don't have to believe this stuff if you don't want to, but I'm telling you, it's real, brother. You can intercede for people. That same man was in a ministry. He was in a kind of a dangerous ministry. He was in a prison ministry. He'd go in prisons, and I'll tell you, some of them prisons he went into was scary. And him and one of the men out of my church, they went to prison. And one Friday afternoon, I'll never forget it, I was sitting in my study in my home. This is when I lived in Rondon, North Carolina. I lived in a big old 10-room house. My study, my home was in my bedroom upstairs. I was sitting there, and God said, "I want you to get down and pray for your preacher out of your church and this crew that's in prison there." And I said, "Okay, Lord, I'll do it." And I got on my knees and I prayed for him. When I got done, next day or two, I called my buddy. I said, "What in the world did y'all get into Friday about 3 o'clock? He said, "Brother, Friday at 3 o'clock. I said, "Yeah, the Lord told me to get down and pray." He said, "Brother, we thought we was going to get killed." I want you to know something, brother. When God tells you to get on your knees and start praying for somebody, you better start praying for them. Amen. Intercessions. He said this, intercessions. "And giving of thanks be made for all men." That right there is the praise in the prayer. That's the praise in the prayer. And giving of thanks. Now, when we pray, do we thank God? You remember that story of those 10 lepers in the Bible? Now, God healed all 10 of them. But only one of them come back to give thanks. And I believe that according to the scriptures, the way it reads there, I believe that only one of them got saved. I believe all of them got healed, but I believe only one of them got saved, the one that came back and praised God. Listen, do you ever thank God for saving you? You know, just today I thank God. I mean, boy, I've had God do some stuff for me in the last 2 or 3 weeks. Always been under a lot of burdens and battles and things, but I've had God just clear the way like you'd take a bulldozer through a forest full of trees. I've had God just clear some things, and I want you to know I've been thanking God and I've been praising God. I had somebody do me a favor today. I really did. I had this person do me a favor. And I'm not going to call their name on the radio, but if they hear this, they'll know who they are. But I had a little car trouble, and I had this person come and help me fix. I had these two people come help me fix my car. And we stand there and we got through, and this one fella that helped me fix my car, he had bought some headlight cleaner at the parts store. And he looked at me and said, "Can I try this out on your car?" I said, "Help yourself, amen." Because you know what, one of the things in my car's real old, had about almost 300,000 on it, and the headlights needed cleaning on it. Well, he got out there and clean. Not only did I get my car fixed, but I got my headlights clean. That's good service. Hey, I want to tell you something. God, you can't beat God. Do you ever thank God for what he does? God sent me. 18 years ago, God sent me a wife. I thank God for my wife. Boy, she's been such a blessing. Thank God. God sent me, 8 years ago, God sent me a good house to live in. I thank God for my house that I live in. Little God knew I was going to go through stress this year. Been one of the stressfulest years. Back in about February, God sent me a little old meowing cat over in the woods. And I prayed to God. I said, "God, let that cat go find a home." I didn't want no cat in my yard. I said, "God, let that cat go find a home." And that cat would leave, and I thought, well, maybe she's found a home. And God let her find a home. This wasn't where I prayed, but you know what? It was my home. And I'm honest, I don't think I'd take $1 million for that little cat right now. Little cat loves me, and I love that little cat. And God just sent that little cat by to be a blessing to me. Brother, the Bible said, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Amen? Sometimes I go in a restaurant. I'm not worthy. I'm not one of these preachers with my hands stuck out. I want you to know that. But I want to thank God. I go in a restaurant, somehow I pay for my meal. I never do get over that. I come from a humble home. I didn't come from much. But let me tell you, I don't expect much in this old life. But God's been good to this preacher. I want to thank God. You know, God's given me a good church. I want to thank God for it. God's given me a good pastor. Oh, I got a good pastor. I don't lift him up above man, but God's given me a good pastor. Sometimes I call him. I might aggravate him. I might call him too much. I don't know. God's given me some good pastors. Oh, he's given me some good preachers. He's given me some good ones. Amen. Thank God for some praying men that'll pray for me. I remember I had one pastor, and boy, he was a good pastor. Probably one of the best pastors I ever had. Maybe been the best pastor I ever had. I had a pastor one Sunday morning. I'll never forget this. I was very sick a few years ago. I was very, very sick. And so my blood pressure would go crazy, and I'd have these migraines and all this other stuff. So I found me some stuff to get my blood pressure down. Well, I told Christy, I said, well, we was missing church. I was sick. I wasn't able to go to church. The pastor knew I wasn't able to go to church. And we was missing church. And so I took some of that stuff to get my blood pressure down. That morning I put my clothes on, suit and tie and all that stuff. I got ready to go to church, and I about passed out. I hit the bed. I felt myself just about to pass out. And my nerves so bad. I told Christy, I can't go like this. I just can't go like this. And so I went in the living room, just sat down. And so help me. About 20 minutes before 10 o'clock, my phone rung. And it was my preacher on the other end of the line. I hadn't told him nothing. I hadn't spoke to him in a few days. He said, Brother Ricky, and I think he's about to cry. He said, Brother Ricky, are you okay this morning? I said, no, preacher, I'm not okay. I said, I got up and got ready to go to church. And I said, I fell backwards on the bed, about passed out. And I said, I'm not doing good. He said, Brother, I had you on my heart. I just want to see if you was all right. I said, no, brother, I'm not all right. He said, I'm praying for you. Oh, listen, we ought to give thanks for a preacher like that. That spirit feel that when God told him to call one of his members, he picked up the phone and called his member. Amen. Let me read verse number 2 to you, and we'll finish up with the doctrine on prayer. For kings and for all that are in authority, I think that's the public officials, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life, in all godliness and honesty. Let me tell you, you know why we're to pray? So that we can live in freedom here in America. You say, I ain't taking time to pray for our president. I'm not going to take time to pray for the CIA and the FBI and the military. I'm not going to do that. I'm not taking time to pray for Congress, all right? But I'll tell you one thing, our freedoms are vanishing away, friend. We are one administration away from not being a free America. The communists ain't coming to America. The communists are already here. The communists are liberal in their thinking. The communists won't want it to be government control. They want the government to control everything. And if they had their way about it, the government will control everything. And brother, when they do, they're going to get your guns and they're going to get your churches. And that's what all this is about. Now, I'm telling you, I'm preaching the Bible. I'm still in the Word of God. And I want you to listen. You better pray. You better pray who you put in office. You better pray for them. You better pray for these states. You better pray for some of these laws they make. You say, well, it don't bother me. The laws they make out China, the laws they make out there will come here tomorrow. You better pray. I tell you, you better get up. Listen, how much do you pray? Let me give you this. When you pray, the victory's yours. God gives you the victory. Amen. But I'm going to tell you this. When you don't pray, self takes over. Did you know that? Lot didn't pray and self took over his life. When you don't pray, Satan wins. Did you know that? And when you don't pray, you become spiritually dull to the things around you. You know why? You know some preachers, they'll say to me, well, they'll talk about getting somebody in to preach, and they'll say, well, you know, I got to get this man, got to get that man. You don't have to get anybody. Get who the Lord tells you. Don't become spiritually dull. The brethren will make you spiritually dull. Well, you got to do this, you got to do that, and you got to build a church this way, you got to do it that way. Do it the Holy Ghost way. Do it God's way. Don't become spiritually dull. Hear from heaven every day. Let it be fresh. Don't pray the same thing over and over and over. If a prayer list gets you in a routine, and I ain't talking about a routine, I'm talking about being disciplined, but if it's going to just get you in a routine, throw it in the trash can. But if it will help advance you and discipline you, use it and pray. The Bible said pray without ceasing. I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you something. When do you think it would be the last time God has heard from you, believer, Christian? When's the last time God's heard from you? You say, well, preacher, I ain't talked to God in a while. Why don't you get on your knees and talk to God right now? The doctrine of prayer. And then, sinner friend, if you don't know the Lord, you say, preacher, I've never asked God to save me. You cannot go to heaven unless you ask God into your heart. You ought to ask Him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, save that sinner that is near his tail. Help us in this great hour and use us for your glory. We thank you for allowing us to preach this message today. Lord, may the doctrines of prayer, the doctrine of tithes and offerings, all these sound doctrines, may they help us to grow. Lord, help me never to preach, Lord, in a ill spirit, but in a loving spirit, in a helping spirit. Lord, I love you. Thank you for all you're doing, God, and all you will do. Thank you for this ministry and how the blessings you've put on us down through the years. Lord, you sure have been good to us. And I want to thank you, Lord, for all you're doing. In Jesus' wonderful, high, and holy name, I pray this prayer. Amen.